Bibles and stand together for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs chapter 20 tonight. And we're going to read one verse, Proverbs chapter 20, and we're going to read one verse. We're going to read verse 29. The Bible says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray hair." Head. Now, from here, I can see very clearly whom the text is speaking of. I thought about all day long having those of whom it is speaking of to come up and present themselves. But then I thought better. I thought that would probably, as they're all like this, I thought probably better than that. The old pastor probably would have done that, but the new pastor won't. And so we're going to talk tonight about old men. No, I'm kidding. The title of the message is not about the old boys club. It's called The Glory and the Beauty of Life. Father, thank you for life and the way that you have designed it. And God, we're so grateful that you describe it as a joy that is more abundant. Lord, an abundant life that we have the opportunity of living. I pray that every one of us in here is taking of that kind of life, that we would leave here ready to serve you. Lord, that we would show the world what the love of Christ looks like in shoe leather. Father, that they would have the right Bible version, that we would wear your coat well. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless the reading and the teaching of the Word of God tonight. I yield myself to you as an instrument. God, I ask that you'd please help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I may be filled with thy Spirit. Lord, I confess to you tonight, I need you greatly. And so I pray that you'd help me. Preach through me your message tonight. Withhold from my lips those things that would hinder or hurt your Spirit or these dear people that have come. And I pray that you'll bless our time together. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the economy of nature, as of grace, there is a time and a season for all things. Youth delights in deeds of prowess and glories in physical strength, while age is the time for meditation. It's the time for sobriety, and of this, the gray head is a reminder. Beautiful indeed, one author said, in its place. Though many of us would like to try to avoid the gray hair as it comes upon our head, I was reminded of that today. One of the pastors that was very involved in my wife and I's life when we moved to Las Vegas, I saw him, and he's of Lebanese descent. And well into his 50s, he had jet black hair. I mean, just like Austin's, just Brother Torres right there, just jet black hair, not a gray head on him. And he's going into his 50s, and I kept looking for it. And I thought, man, alive. I really thought when the Bible talked about the hoary head, that maybe in the Greek or Hebrew somewhere, it would be Lebanese or exempt, that they just were not going to grow any gray hair. And today I saw him and it was just full of gray hair and I was pleased. The only reason I say that is because he started looking for gray hair in my head. And so we exchanged some pleasantries as we do, as preachers do. And I thought, you know, it's something that a lot of people avoid, but the Bible has much to say about, and especially when it's gotten the right way. Someone said the seven ages of man is 6 weeks, this is as far as age, 6 weeks as all systems go, 6 years as all systems know. 16 years old is all systems K-N-O-W, that is, I know everything. 26 years as all systems glow, we remember that, the 20th decade, the second decade of our life. 36 years is all systems O. That's when we probably climb into the bucket of debt a little too much. 56 years is all systems status quo. And 76 years is all systems slow. We begin to slow down a little bit when we get a little older. Someone else said, well, the seven ages of men are spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. I like that one a little too much. That probably is a little more progressing. Then someone said there are actually only four ages of man. It is when you believe in Santa Claus, then when you don't believe in Santa Claus, then when you actually are Santa Claus, and then when you look like Santa Claus. That's the four ages of men. Now, whether or not you believe in Santa Claus is not the point. whether we like to talk about it or not, age happens to the best of us. And I don't know if it's the eternal spirit of a human being or not, but I always used to think my age, think of people my age were old, and since then I've changed my mind about it. I used to think of my, I remember when my father turned 42 years old and he got glasses and I wept. You said, why? Because I was so disappointed that my dad was a human being and then he needed glasses, and I thought, my dad's old, he's going to die any day. I just thinking, man, that guy is old. And since I've turned 45, I don't think that anymore of those people that are in their 40s, but I don't know what it is. Maybe when you're young, you just have this vivaciousness about you, and you think of the age that you're never going to be. I thought, I'd never see the age of 40. The Lord's going to come back, and probably some of you thought you'd never see some other decades the same way, but we have that eternal optimistic spirit that somehow, some way, we're going to avert this aging process. But I always used to think of those people in an aged way. And since I've reached middle age, I've begun to define it a little differently. Middle age is the time when a man is always thinking that in a week or two he'll feel much better about himself. Well, I'll feel better in a couple weeks, and then 2 weeks go by, and you think, well, I'll just a couple more weeks, and I'll get better, and couple more weeks and I'll be as good as I ever was, and those kind of things just never roll around, on accident at least. And yet our text shows us that both young and old have their advantages, and therefore must, according to their own individual capacities given at their season, they must be serviceable to the public. Certainly, you could say without a doubt in a spiritual application that they must also and always be serviceable to the Lord. And neither of them to despise or envy the other. So as we go back and we get this in our mind by way of introduction, the Bible says the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. So I want you to take your outlines briefly, and I want you to consider with me three just simple principles concerning the glory and the beauty of life. First of all, let's just make a natural observation, shall we? A natural observation. If we read the text for what it is, the glory of young men is their strength, the beauty of old men is their gray head. Now, the Bible describes, not completely specifically in the one verse, but in the context of it, we'll read a little bit later, this matter of aging. In fact, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season. We tell people, look, there are all kinds of seasons in life. And yet it says, and a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, for some people, they don't like that season coming on of age. Some people struggle in their 30s, some others in their 40s, others in their 50s. The other day, I was at the gas station, and I looked up, and there was a brand spanking new Ferrari, and it was gorgeous. Candy apple red, black rims, low-profile tires, and this guy, I'm 6'1", and I'm not that all that small. This guy was like this tall. He was standing with his back to me, and he was getting gas in this car. It was filling up, and I heard him. I just always want to see who it is that's driving this kind of a car. By the way, in case you don't know, that's about a $250,000 car, probably a little bit more than that. And I heard the gas thing go clunk, and I thought, oh, I want to see who this is. So I go around, and I'm looking like this. This guy finished, and he leaned up against this. The thing, and he just started texting on his phone for like 20 minutes. I don't have time to text if I have a Ferrari. I need to just drive it. That's what I need to do. He sat there and text. About this tall, black slacks, black shoes, black socks, black belt, black shirt. No, it wasn't Johnny Cash, okay? Unbuttoned to here, bronze, because he just looked like he just walked out of a spray tan place. And jet black hair, not a gray head on him. He had to be at least 58 years old, maybe 60. And I thought to myself, if I've ever seen a guy going through a midlife crisis, that's him right there. Some people just don't like seasons of life. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how you're handling the aging process. But in all reality, God says there's a season for all of us to go to, and it's okay. Now, remember, God's plan was that we would never die, that we would just always be, and we would be eternal, that is, immortal. But since sin came into mankind, we've been dying ever since we were born. So this aging process goes from dependency to independency to dependency, and many times we don't like that process. We fight against it and we develop certain attitudes. So let's take this natural observation here as we see the seasons in life, and every season has its purpose in God's economy, and that it suits His plan. We see two contrasting pictures according to our text. First of all, we see the picture of youth. It says specifically, the glory of young men is their what? Okay, so two people are listening. Okay, so the glory of young men is their? Okay, their strength. So when you think of life then between the ages of 20 and say 35 or 40, what do you normally think of? You almost always think of energy. Just an endless amount of energy. Vitality. Vitality, they tell me, is the capacity to live and to develop. We think of the Bible word here, strength. We think of drive. We think of ambition. We think of initiative. We think of pep, the spring in the step. And that's just the natural observation. Young people tend to have more energy. The pastor said to me today, my old pastor, he says, "No, now how old is your baby boy? A year old?" And I said, "No, he's three, or he's going to be 4 years old." And every day I'm reminded of the strength and the energy of the youth. When I look at my kid, just go boing, 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 boing. He just bounces all over the place and he's running. And I think, Lord, I'm going to have a heart attack before that guy gets out of graduation for a kindergarten, because I just can't keep up with him. Always running, always wanting to poke or hit or kick or shoot me or hit something. Always, just all energy. Well, I want you to look in your text, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 33. The Bible, in two verses talking about David and Goliath, gives us the season of age. And Saul said unto David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth." Now we see here, David says he's got the strength. He just doesn't, apparently, according to Saul, have the knowledge to go with it. Okay? So then he says, and he, that is the Goliath, a man of war from his youth. And yet David says, "Wait a minute, Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." So even in David's mind, he has the physicality to take care of business before he even has the power of God on his life. And yet Saul's saying, "Look, you got a lot of strength, but you really don't know what you're talking about. You're not seasoned in this area of your life. You're too young." And so these are the days when, as a youth, you could stay up all night long. You could stay up late and get up early without paying much of a price. When you were tireless, these are the days when you were tireless at the end of the day. And if somebody spontaneously came up and said, "Hey, let's go do this," you were like, "Oh, okay." And then all of a sudden something happens when you're older and you've got a few kids. Then people say, "Hey, you want to go do this?" And you go, "No, it's okay." You start thinking about that pillow. Start thinking about your pajamas and maybe the Twinkie that you can sneak behind your wife's back or whatever. You start thinking of, "Man, I'd have to actually get up. I'd actually move. I'd have to like walk all the way over there to the door. I'd have to like walk out." Then you start thinking of all of that energy and you go, "Man, I can't feel anything. I don't want to do anything." You know, we become more couch potato chips or potatoes. You know what I'm saying? It's a picture of the youth. Now, secondly, we see the portrait of years. The portrait of years. Now, in contrast, God says, okay, when you picture youth, you always picture strength. Strength. When we lift up after church tonight, I want to ask for people, for guys specifically, to help us move the chairs. All of the older guys are saying, "Yeah, all you young guys get over here to move those chairs." That's the picture of it. No, no, Ralph, you're still on the young guy stage, so don't be looking at all these young guys. Don't back talk me like Evelyn does. Just sit there, okay? Now watch. What do you normally think of when you think of someone like, well, who's just older, okay, up in years, we'll say. You normally think of gray hair. You always do. You think of gray hair. You think of wrinkles. My son, Braden, comes up to me the other, I think every one of my children have done this. Maybe Ashley didn't, but all the rest of them have. I have wrinkles on my forehead. I've had them since I was about 18 years old. I was growing up in the desert, and so I got crow's feet when I was little because I never had sunglasses, and they didn't make sunglasses for little kids. Just walk around blind all the time. "I need sunglasses." "They don't make it for you. Hush, just wear a hat." "Okay." So I was like 16 years old, and I looked like I was 40 because I had crow's feet on the side of my face. And Braden comes up to me, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I don't know, he asked me a question or something, and I made a face, and I was like, "Huh?" And he goes, he starts like Braille. It's on my forehead. And he goes, "It's not that funny." He goes, "What are those?" I said, "Those are wrinkles." And he goes, "Don't do this anymore." I said, why? He said, because then you'll get him again. So he goes, go like this. So I was like, trying to make them go away. I was like stretching and pulling. I need to get a new surgeon, apparently. That's what you think of. I remember sitting on my father's lap in Missouri when I was little. And I remember just looking at his face like a roadmap. Literally. And I don't say it disrespectfully. I just remember looking at him going, I ain't never seen so many roads and wrinkles in my entire life. That's just what you think of. So gray hair, wrinkles. You think of a slower step. I'll never forget the first time I ever encountered false teeth. We went to a friend's house over here in Porterville. Does anybody know where Porterville is over in the Central Valley? It's hot. Man, it's hot. We went to a friend's house, and I was a little tyke. I couldn't have been any bigger than 8 or 9 years old. And we were staying with a friend. His name was Dwayne. And I loved Dwayne. He was really tall. Reminded me of the Rifleman. You guys remember Rifleman? What's the name of that guy? Chuck Connors. He was just exactly like Chuck, and I idolized him. He was real tall and lean, had a real lean face, and he was just a big man. His hands were just humongous. And my dad said, I couldn't wait for Dwayne to get up because I wanted him to take me on a ride on his riding lawnmower. And I was running around like Braden, like, I got to go get Dwayne up. Dad's like, no. So he held me off for a little while. Finally, he said, okay, go get Dwayne up. And I asked his wife. She said, yeah, go ahead. It's time for him to get up. So I ran into Dwayne, and Dwayne sprawled out in his bed. I said, Dwayne, get up. Let's go ride the lawnmower. And Dwayne's laying there, and Dwayne went, huh? And he had no teeth in. And I mean, it was like Carlsbad Caverns. He said, huh? And I went, and I was like eye level with the nightstand. Right there in a glass of water were the largest pair of teeth I'd ever seen in my life. Because he's a big man. I was like, oh! My dad said, what is wrong? I said, Dwayne lost his teeth. They laughed and laughed and laughed. I remember being in Bible college, and Dr. Getz got worked up, and he said, in his upper partial, he was stuck it right back in his face. And I was like, that's weird. I never seen that before. It's normal. Okay, you guys remember when I turned 40, and everybody had the walker up here, and everybody was dressed in black, and y'all made fun of me? That's just what you think. You think of false teeth, walkers, compression hose, all of those things, all right? The portrait of years. Now watch. The Bible speaks many, many different ways. Watch this. Genesis 24:1, and Abraham was old. And then it says, and well stricken in years. Now that tells you that age is wearing, so it's normal to slow down. They don't have that spring, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 2 talks about Eli. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim. You remember when Jacob had his, Isaac had his sons? And Isaac got to the point where he could not tell that it was Jacob or Esau. And so Jacob dresses up and he goes in and he goes, who are you, my son? And he goes, oh, I'm Esau. And he said, well, it's the voice of Jacob, but it's the hand or the skin of Esau. And so he accepts him. The fact of the matter is, those things all begin to go. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn to a couple of places. Go to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. Leviticus 19, and God says, here's the way I want you to understand what is going to happen and how you should react to it. All right? Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, that's the white hair or the gray hair, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. So God says, look, I want to give you a picture of it, but I don't want you to take it for granted. I don't want you to just cast it aside. I want you to see that this is a process that I know is coming, and you need to be able to be responsible with it. So, we see a natural observation. I'm going to give you a couple points here in a few minutes. Number two, I want you to see the carnal inclination. The carnal inclination. Now, I use the word carnal because this would be the fleshly side of aging, whether it's as a youth or whether it is as, even if it's a Christian who's up in years, we all understand that until we get to heaven, we still have a carnal nature. Somebody say amen right there. We have to fight it every day. You got to fight being bitter. You got to fight being jealous. You got to fight being covetous. You got to fight all the time. And so the carnal inclination. Now, we see this very carefully. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 8, speaking of whether we should, which crowd we should follow, how should we respect, how should we not. But he forsook the counsel of the old men. Then the Bible says, which they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. So God says, okay, look, there's something to be said, not just of the physicality of aging, but also of what is happening in that life and the use of it. Now, the carnal inclination, then first of all, I want you to see the immature paradigm of life. Young people oftentimes see older people as a nuisance. They see them as, why are they in my way? Don't they know that their blinker's on? They're going far too slow. They're too weak. They're ignorant of the future. They only exist in the past and never in the present. All they want to talk about is the good old days. That is an immature paradigm of life. Any young person that does not want to get to know or especially respect someone who is up in their years is just simply immature. They don't understand the place that God has given them in respect to lineage. This proves immature because they never stop to think that the people who have lived longer have lived alike. They never stop to think that, hey, that person's lived about, oh, I don't know, three times as long as I have, and they too have probably gone through something similar to me. So rather than discard them or think immaturely about them or think carnally of them, I need to really welcome the fact that they're sitting here right before my eyes. It's an immature paradigm of life. Secondly, we see an ignorant paradigm of life. Sometimes older people can at times think young people are too fast. Oh, they're always just running around like a chicken with their head cut off. They just need to slow down. They're too loud. They're ignorant of the past. And they begin because they're holding on to the past and they're not willing to accept the change of the present and going into the future. They want to hold that against these young people, ignorant of the past. They're lazy. They have it too easy. They only think of the present. They never think of the future. Now, this is an ignorant paradigm of life because without being patient with the youth, as some were patient with those who were once youth, they can ignorantly create a barrier and isolate themselves out of an opportunity to help. Listen, if we can unfortunately take and unfairly just lump everybody in because of a few, we have a problem. We shouldn't be able to do that either as young people with those that are aged, and we shouldn't as older people do that with all the youth. We should be, instead of respecter of persons, a respecter of God, and say, Lord, you've given me an opportunity. Rather than isolate myself from these young people, I need to be able to relate and respond to them in the Spirit of Christ. Remember, this is the carnal inclination. The carnal inclination says, I don't want to take the time to get to know this old person. I don't want to take the time to get to know this young person. I don't want to. That's the carnal inclination. But we see, thirdly, an imaginative paradigm of life. Both sets. In one sense, both can imagine life without the other being peaceful. If it was just a bunch of young people running around and there were no older people, then they sometimes can imagine themselves happier, better off, nobody in their way. The lines would be shorter. They can go on and they can develop, watch, a euthanistic approach to life. If we just get rid of all of these old people, we'll have a better society. And God says, now wait a minute, that's not the way I taught you to handle these people. I don't want you to think of life without anybody because it's my life to take or to give. You, I have left you there with them for a specific purpose. At the same time, in another sense, the youth who are trying to hurry the process along, desiring the freedoms without expecting the responsibility. I can't wait till I get this age. I can't wait till I get this age. And they want to age without being old. They want to go through life hurriedly, and they want to hurry up and gain the freedoms without the responsibility. Then there's another imaginative paradigm where the aged are trying to erase the distinctive marks and signs of age at the hand of a surgeon. Rather than accepting what God has given me, rather than saying I'm going to age gracefully by the grace of God, I'm going to do my best to fight it. Friend, you can fight it all you want. You're going to do more damage than help. You're doing more harm to what God has said I've given you naturally. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. Everything else is in between those two dates. So he says, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, which, by the way, laughing gives you wrinkles. So the idea is, hey, look, I want you to see that there's a season to everything, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to rent, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh and that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. When you live long enough, you're going to suffer the effects of this carnal nature. But don't allow the carnal nature to skew your paradigm when it should be a scriptural paradigm. Say, you know what? I am how old I am, and these people are in my life for a reason. God, give me the grace to live within that reason. So we see, thirdly and finally, a divine revelation. In a very spiritual sense, the Apostle John captures the same thought of this old and young. He explains that young men are those who are strong in the faith, in whom the Word of God abides, and who have overcome the wicked one and the fathers, that the aged ones. He writes of an enlarged and deepened understanding of God the Father through the passing of years. I think you have it in your notes. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because, notice, ye have overcome the wicked one. What's it take to overcome? Faith. What's it take to overcome? Strength. It requires effort. He writes of one that they have a deep understanding and a great wealth of knowledge. The other one, they say, these are the fighters. These are the movers. These are the shakers of our faith. And so he continues, I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. And the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now then, we understand this spiritual revelation then goes like this. First of all, letter A, youth are fit for action. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be active. They're supposed to be, however, in the spiritual sense, listen, active for the Lord. One of the blessings of going to Costa Rica was hearing people come back and say things like, I realize that serving the Lord's fun. When you serve with other people, when you get involved, that's what it's all about. But it doesn't exempt everybody from serving just because you're not a youth. So, letter B, age is fit then for counsel and honor. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Look, everybody who's lived longer than you has some aspect of their life that could be a help to you at a given time. So don't discount the relationship, albeit within your family tree or not. What God says is, I want you to honor them. I want you to understand that they are fit. The beauty of their life is that they have lived a long time by my grace. That means that they have, by experience, life. But if they've lived it faithfully, if this hoary head is found and be a crown of glory found in righteousness, then they have not just experience in life, they have experience with me. And they can help you. They can be an example to you. Thirdly, then, both the aged and the youth are equipped to complement the church. Both are. Both are required to be active. Regardless of where you are in the spectrum of life, understand that it is never about age, but rather it's about ability. It's not whether you have the physical strength to break down this auditorium. Do you have the spiritual strength to be a blessing instead of a curse to somebody? Is it that you want to walk around spreading your problems and your bitterness and your anger and trying to show your prowess? Or are you trying to lift up and edify the body of Christ? Because we can all do that, regardless of our age. I weary at people who say to me, yeah, I did this for 30 years, and they haven't done anything since those 30 years. Like all of a sudden they've retired into the spiritual hall of fame. There is no such hall of fame. Guys retire from the NFL, they want to go to the hall of fame. They want to get their bust there, they want to get the yellow jacket, they want to sit amongst everybody else like they've done something just for playing their position for a decade or so. And sometimes I think, older Christians want to just do that. They want to wear the yellow jacket. They want to get the carnation. They want everybody to bow down in honor of what they did 50 years ago. And God says, no, wait a minute. I'm going to give you a Bible example. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there was a man named Caleb. And he was 80 stinking 5 years old. And he said, my strength has not failed me. I want that mountain. And he went up and he took it. When he could have said, you know what? I don't need to do this. I'll just ride in the chariot back there and you guys go up and I got a bunch of kids and I got a bunch of people following me. They're in my tribe. We'll just go up and take it. Mm-mm, not Caleb. He could have retired and gone to the Hall of Fame, but he didn't. He wanted to play through his last game, and he did. Notice Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man, we could say that because of the hoary head, that could be an aged individual. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Oh, but look, and let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Look, if we're going to sing about Jesus coming back, why don't we serve him until he does? Amen? It doesn't matter how old you are. What matters is what you're doing with what you have, and God says you will still give an account to me. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I thank you for the hoary head. I thank you, Lord, for those that have